Welcome back to another episode of the Juice Moves Podcast. This week's episode is with Sarah Poland. She's the founder and CEO of Supergirl. Supergirl is a healthy soup brand that makes tasty soup while providing you with everything you need. You've seen it on Shark Tank, in many publications, and they're in grocery stores near you. Sarah, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining. It seems like there's a lot of steps to your journey, and we will try to cover as much as we can. I'm curious, after having the realization that you wanted to create Supergirl, you started in 2008 during a recession. What gave you the confidence when you were launching that it was a good time?
Oh, no, blind naivete. There was no confidence. It was more that I have the attention span of a gnat. When I have an idea, I got to just do it. And I don't really listen to the naysayers. I don't set up a plan B. I just kind of dive in. But it was insane. But here we are in recession number, whatever this is, and we're still here.
That's really impressive. Did you have a background and knowledge of the business world or soup industry before starting?
Not even remotely. No. I knew I wanted to get involved in the food world because I think it's broken and I wanted to be involved in the solution. And so I dragged my mother out of retirement, but no, she taught me everything I know in the kitchen. These are her recipes. I read Small Businesses for Dummies. I took classes at the local, there's like free, a lot of cities have like free business classes and mentorship programs. And I just took advantage of all of them. But I just knew kind of I had an entrepreneurial spirit, but no formal business training at all.
That's very interesting. Can you speak about how you decided to come up with a company? I heard you mention in a different interview that you were sitting on the floor right before your college graduation, not sure what you were going to do.
That's true.
You were a comedian for a bit.
Yep.
And how do you end up running a soup industry?
It's a strange, I really was unhappy, to be honest, with my job. I really was unhappy. And I felt that it had been great after college. And in my 20s, I was doing comedy and really trying to do something different. And then I felt like I had kind of veered from that path. And as much as I convinced myself I had taken a unconventional path, I was working for a friend in the travel business, in the Israel tour business, doing like birthright trips and other trips like that. But I wasn't working for myself. And I had a job. At the end of the day, I had a job. And so I read books about the food business, the food industry, and I just got fascinated. And I was itching to do something else. And I kind of brainstormed. And soup, there are a number of reasons. Soup, number one, I've eaten soup my whole life. I don't know what other people eat. When I lived in New York, my mom used to visit. My mom, my dad would come up every few months and visit. My brother also lived in the city at the time. And she had made tons of soup and she would freeze them in little individual packages and I would put them in the freezer and I would just take them out to eat. I literally don't know what other people eat because I think soup is the perfect food. You know, if you make a well-made bowl of soup, you've got protein, you've got fiber, you've got vegetables, hydration, nutrition. And so I think soup's the perfect food. And then when I learned more and more about the food industry and I thought, okay, we can source better, we can do better. And we know how to make great soup. So it all kind of came together, unfortunately, during a recession, but that's okay. And we rented kitchen space and just kind of, we were ahead of our time. We set up a website offering delivery. We didn't know we were like the first DoorDash, you know, we didn't know. And then people responded. They responded. They wanted healthy food. They wanted responsibly made food. They wanted to know who was making their food. And we've kind of stuck with those values as we've grown over the years.
That's really nice. When you were starting out, were you concerned that you would get a little bored of the company after a year or two? Or did you know deep down that this was going to be it?
I had no idea. I'm a terrible planner. But I never thought I would get bored. There's never been a period where I've been bored. I think I've been elated. I've been miserable. I've been angry. I've been joyous. I've been excited, but never, never, never bored.
That's good. What was it like working with your mother? I know personally that I've heard lecturers say that when starting a business, one of the last things you should do is drag in family members. And it seems that the two of you each took on your own super nicknames and you work very well together. How's that been?
It's been awesome. I'm very fortunate. She's my best friend. And I've always kept in mind that she's always right. And when you always keep in mind that your mother's always right, everything kind of goes. And the truth is, she usually is. She's a really smart woman with a great attitude towards life and a great just instinct for everything. And so We get along great. It's been absolutely wonderful. And now she's able to enjoy her grandchildren. My brother has two beautiful granddaughters. Has two beautiful daughters, and she's able to kind of help us with sales and recipe development, but isn't doing, you know, back in the beginning, she was with me. It was the two of us every day, you know, really building this thing. She was unbelievable and still is unbelievable, but it's been awesome working with her. And she's so funny. I mean, it's really impossible not to adore her. Anytime people meet me, they're like, oh, you're fun. And then they meet her and they're like, oh, forget you.
Wow, it's good that worked out. What were the early challenges? You mentioned that you had to drag her in and that it was not so easy starting out.
It was brutal. I get asked that question a lot, and it's the ones that you don't anticipate. So you can plan and plan, but you can never anticipate a power outage at 11 o'clock in the morning. You can never anticipate that inflation. A global pandemic. But even other than that, staff, people not showing up. The biggest challenge, I couldn't even begin to pick one. It's just trying to stay ahead of things, I think, is the hardest. And it's just preparing for the unexpected. That's always hard. You think, you know, you go to bed one night, you think you're everything's smooth sailing, and then you wake up and you have no idea what the night brought. You just have no idea.
It's interesting, but I think despite the negatives, everyone's seen your growth, whether it's people while walking down the aisles of Costco or they come across your website or see some other promotion for you. How have you been growing that? You mentioned that you did not have so much expertise before you went through the field, and then all of a sudden you ended up in Whole Foods. How do you even get into Whole Foods?
It's not all of a sudden. It's been a lot of hard work, but Whole Foods is funny. I showed up at the area Whole Foods carrying a bag of soup, saying, I'd like you to try this and I think you should carry it. And that was it. I mean, it really, then they taught us how to food safety and UPC codes and lot numbers and traceability and food audits and, you know, inventory accounting. You just have to learn. We've been very blessed with a very loyal fan base that has helped us grow and told people, like your grandmother, everyone tell someone. And that means so much because we are still, I appreciate your warm words about our success, but we're still a small business and rely on the kindness of people, of referrals and just organic referrals and just growth rather than paying millions of dollars in social media advertising. We don't have that budget. So, you know, I think we've created a fun brand that people gravitate towards. And we also stand for something more than just money. You know, we're really trying to build a good brand that's built on values. And I think that people appreciate it.
Yeah, I think the people I know who have your soup really appreciate it and enjoy it. I'm curious, you mentioned some of the lows, and you mentioned some of the positives and the growth. How do you ride the highs and not get stuck in the lows without getting too caught up in either one and staying focused on the end goal?
Well, the highs, it's not hard because you always know there's going to be a low. It's just, that's not, you never feel stable when you're having a high, but the lows, you know, you get used to them after a while. Although I have to say, going from a pandemic into a recession or an inflationary period has been really, 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 really hard. Probably this is, you know, been the hardest 3 years of our company's business. It's just for everybody. And you think it's important to just remember, you always got to go through, like nothing in life really, but in business and in life, nothing ever lasts forever. So you think wherever you are, it's the worst of the worst. It's not going to stay like that. Something's going to change. Maybe it'll get even worse or maybe it'll get better, but it's going to change. And as long as you can remember that, whether you're making soup or you're not feeling so great, I think that's something I've had to learn the hard way. Puts everything in perspective.
It's interesting. And the next question, I kind of have to apologize in advance for asking, because I assume you get it so often. But what was it like going on a Shark Tank? I guess if you could explain the process of getting on, what it's like preparing, and also the positive, I guess, of dealing with the publicity it gave you after.
Yeah. Yeah, I do, but I'm always happy to answer that question. So we had applied a few years earlier and gotten pretty far along in the process and then never heard from them again. So then when they came to town again, there was a casting call. I forwarded it to someone in my business. I said, haha. And she said, you're going. And I said, we've gone down this road. What are you talking about? Well, I went, I did the same pitch, and then we kept getting, you know, pushed through in the process. And then the next thing we knew, we were in LA. I wouldn't call it fun. It's challenging. It is exactly as they show it on television. It's very accurate. You go down that hallway, they see you for the first time, you see them for the first time, and then it's go. And there's no second takes. There's no, you know, cut, let me get a better angle. No, they just keep the cameras rolling. If you stutter, if you fall, if you forget your, you know, you're supposed to memorize your opening pitch, it just is go, 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 go. And, you know, we weren't really expecting a deal. We were just so excited to be there and get the publicity. And the publicity was incredible. And still to this day, it just keeps, you know, A, they replay it pretty frequently. And B, people still recognize us from it. And it kind of gives us like legitimacy, if you will. So it was overall an awesome experience. My mom was such a trooper on that. Getting out there on television in front of these, you know, big business machers.
Very nice. Did it give you an increase in business or a bigger customer base?
Yeah, all of the above. Everything. Yeah.
I'm curious. It kind of came up on the episode a little bit, but in general, I think one of the things that makes your brand so noticeable among others in the industry is your commitment to keeping the soup kosher. What is it that makes you keep the soup kosher and the dedication towards the Hechsher?
Oh, it's a good question. I think there's two reasons. Number one, you know, for a while when we rented kitchen space long before, I couldn't eat my own soup in my home. That was not good. And there's three reasons. Number two, I thought there's a real dearth of healthy, fresh, kosher food. And number three, I really believe that the kavana behind kashrut is beautiful. I think that, you know, as a society, we are trying to regain mindfulness. We're trying to kind of step away from our phones and trying desperately to be mindful. Everyone's trying to practice meditation and everyone's trying to, you know, do yoga and slow down our minds and reconnect. And kashrut really forces you, if you really pay attention, forces you to reconnect with your food. And I find that to be beautiful. So I consider it an honor to be kosher. And I think that we really try to take the spirit of kashrut very seriously when we make our food.
Very nice. In terms of coming up with the soups and other things you sell on your website, to me, I'm not the biggest soup connoisseur, but there's only a few types of soups that I know. Is it something that you're hitting up the old recipes and taking out a new page of the cookbook every few months? Or is it that you're running tests and experimenting with different flavors and varieties?
Well, we've been doing this for 15 years. So my mom has tested every single recipe. She's the one who's tinkering and then we build off of her recipes. But, you know, I find it funny when people say I like soup or I don't like soup. Soup is such like a, it's like, how is like a light carrot dill soup in the same category as like a heavy winter chili? There's just so many different flavors and textures and spices and just ingredients to work with. So we love just creating all kinds of different types of soup, thick and thin and cold and warm and summer, winter. It's a blast. I love soup, obviously.
Yeah, very nice. Do you still eat other people's soups if you're invited to someone else's house or something? Will you try?
I mean, if I'm invited, I'm always the one to bring soup. So, you know, but no, I don't ever go to a restaurant and order soup. No, never. I'm a real snob.
That's good. I guess if you have the best soup, why would you eat anybody else's?
Yeah.
Is there something to look forward to in terms of the future of the brand?
Yeah, we're tinkering with new recipes. We're really hoping to release some really fun things in the next few months that I think people are really going to love.
That's very nice. How should people order from your brand? Your website is thesupergirl.com, thesoupergirl.com. Is there any other way they should try to get in touch with your brand? Should they order through through the website, groceries?
Yeah, look for it at your local grocery store. If they don't carry it, ask for it. You know, we're always looking to go to new areas, new stores. So please, if you don't see it near you, ask for it. And remember, we're in the refrigerator. It's a fresh product, not on the shelf. In the middle of the store, we are in the refrigerator. It's a fresh, healthy soup for you.
Okay, that's nice. And before the episode ends, we always conclude with the same last question, which is, when I looked into you before this episode, I saw you had done a number of podcasts and I saw you've done interviews and have been grilled on Shark Tank. But despite being asked so many questions, there are always things that people wished were brought up and they could be asked about, but they never are. So before we end, what's a question you have never been asked that you wished you were, and what answer would you give to it?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. What do I wish I had been asked? I don't know. I think it's interesting to ask if I could do it all again, would I? And the answer is yes. Even when I share these hardships, and it's really hard, the answer is yes. I love Supergirl, and I love what I do, and I love what I bring to the world, and I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to feed people.
That's so nice. Wow. Thank you. Great answer. Great question. Thank you again for joining and giving the time. And everybody, make sure to check out Supergirl.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun. You asked great questions.
Thank you for listening to this past episode of the Jewish Schmooze podcast. To get our latest updates and contact us, you can follow us on Twitter at Jews_Schmooze. If you want to sponsor an upcoming episode, you can reach out to JewsSchmoozeMarketing@gmail.com. And if you give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening on, that'll be tremendously appreciated. Thank you so much, and hope you're looking forward to the next episode also.